you can see, the needs here are really, really big, enormous. This is only the food line, and people are waiting here even for 2 hours just to get some sandwiches. They rely on sandwiches for a month they have been here. So it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, just a sandwich with cheese. It has been raining for days, and they don't have proper shoes. Kids, small babies, everybody's getting sick. So the help is needed, and I think there is no seconds to wait.
Hello and welcome to Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. Did you know that nearly 70 million people around the world were displaced last year alone? Men, women, and children are forced to leave their homes to flee conflict and persecution every day. And millions of these families end up in refugee camps. We'll be praying for them today and learning how ADRA, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, is helping them in different parts of the world.
Before we continue with our topic, we want to remind you that our program this week is not live. However, we're still available to pray for you. Our prayer partners are standing by to take your calls. If you're in the U.S., please dial 877-7-LETS-PRAY, and our friends outside of the U.S. can call 859-777-PRAY. And whatever your concern is, we're here for you. Before we continue our discussion, let's ask God to bless our program and all of you wherever you may be around the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are attempting to cover a topic spanning 70 million lives that are impacted. But we ask, Lord, that your spirit would accompany us. Walk us through this. May you be honored, glorified, and may there be, as my sister said before, fruit that develops from this that we could never imagine. Thank you so much for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is to our Father's glory that we bear much fruit, amen, personally, and investing in the lives of others to help that process as, amen, well. So, refugees.
Yeah.
I know that I am ill-equipped to truly comprehend what these folks are going through.
No, and it is an honor to acknowledge them and to hear some of their stories and to also hear of the types of aid that have been developed,
yes,
to help them through their journey.
Yes, excited to hear from lots of different sources. We're going to be talking to a couple of actual refugee girls, and then we're going to be hearing from some folks that have firsthand account as well. So really excited about, yeah, the topic today, you guys. So stay tuned. Of course, we are going to continue to pray. Our prayer partners are standing by. 877-7-LETS-PRAY is the number to call. We're here for you guys. And today we are commemorating the obstacles of refugees around the world, celebrating their courage and strength as we observe World Refugee Day this month. More than 44,000 people around the world are forced to leave their homes every day, daily, because of war, conflict, and persecution. In recent years, more than 600,000 Rohingya refugees from Myanmar have crossed the border into Bangladesh. I'm not sure I said that right, but I'll give it my best, to escape ethnic and religious persecution. Let's take a look now at how ADRA, the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, is helping the refugees in the region of the world.
Yasmin clutches her infant daughter, Hasina, to her chest as she makes her way home. She arrives at a makeshift shelter made of tarpaulin, where she and her family are staying as refugees. Yasmin belongs to a minority tribe in Myanmar called Rohingya, which has been targeted for their Islamic beliefs. Early one morning in September 2017, Yasmin woke to the loud whir of a helicopter circling her village in Myanmar. The next thing she heard was a machine gun strafing the buildings. Together with her husband, Yasmin grabbed her four children, all under the age of five, and rushed toward the sea. The screams and gunfire faded behind them as they ran, and by the time they reached the coast, The only sound that remained was the lapping of the waves. Still, the family was afraid. Hasina, then just a newborn, survived those 8 days on breast milk with a piece of cloth for shade. Finally, Yasmin and her husband decided that capture was better than starvation. On the morning of the 9th day, the family fled toward Bangladesh. After an arduous journey, they ended up in a refugee camp called Camp Lida in southeast Bangladesh. The Adventist Development and Relief Agency, or ADRA, is one of several humanitarian organizations providing basic necessities at the camp. Although life in the refugee camp is relatively safe, it's not always easy. Access to latrines is limited, private bathing is nearly impossible to find, and schools are non-existent. As a Rohingya refugee in Bangladesh, Yasmin's options for food are also limited. So twice a month, she gathers her youngest child and sets out for her allotted portion of rice, lentils, salt, sugar, and oil. Yasmin's husband was a successful shopkeeper and homeowner in Myanmar before the attack. With the income from his dry goods store and the shelter from his 2-story wood house, her husband provided for all his family's needs. But now they have no choice but to accept aid and wait. Yasmin and her family are part of the 800,000 Rohingya refugees living in Bangladesh, yearning to return home to Myanmar. Until then, ADRA and other humanitarian organizations are working to meet their needs. Your support of ADRA and the mission offerings makes a tangible difference for people like Yasmin and her family.
Joining us to tell us more about the refugee crisis around the world and the relief programs that are helping them is Imad Madanat, Vice President for Programs for ADRA, the Adventist Development Relief Agency. Imad, welcome to Let's Pray.
Thank you. Actually
welcome back. So
yes,
we're really grateful for your time again today. And I'm just going to jump right into this. I know we're going to end up talking a little bit about how ADRA's involvement is helping these areas. But first, can you explain to us the difference between a migrant, a refugee, and somebody who's internally displaced? And why do we need to know the difference between those things?
Okay, so collectively, they're called displaced. So these are people that had to, for one or another reason, leave their home in a rush, in a very, you know, quick aspect. So the refugees are people who are facing either persecution or conflict, and they're actually forced to leave. So they have no choice, but they pick up their belongings and quickly get out of harm's way, and most of the time out of that country where they are. So they have to cross a border to be called a refugee. A migrant is somebody who actually chooses, in a way, to, again, do the same thing as a refugee, pick up his belonging in a quick, hasty way and move away from his country or his home towards a better future due to either economic conditions. You know, I cannot feed my family. I need to go look for somewhere else where I can find a job and feed my family. Or a climate change where a national disaster has just destroyed all my livelihood. I need to go look for a better condition.
Yes.
The third one is the internally displaced persons. And these are people who stay within their own country, but move from, say, one city to another, from one governance to another because of conditions, and could be political, could be nature.
Excellent. That's really important to understand. It's not something that I've been told before, and I know that I'm not alone in that, so I know our community appreciates that.
Thank you.
Imad, great to have you on. Listen, what is ADRA's involvement in the refugee crisis? What services are provided?
Could
you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, and we have to think of refugees as, in a way, two ways. There's the ones who are actually on the move. That means they're continuously moving. So, and there's the ones who actually reach a point where they're out of harm's way, but they establish camps or temporary settlements. In the initial phase for both of them, we address the immediate life-saving needs of food, water, hygiene, and a shelter. For the ones that continue the journey, they just basically catch the next bus or catch the next method of transportation. For the ones that are stationary, now we move to a second phase of urgent medical needs. some protection. Children, of course, will now look for safe space to play, for educational issues. For women, it's also protection, hygiene. And for men, what do I do with myself? How do I provide for my family?
How can I contribute?
So we start working in a different phase with the ones that are stationary. Another important fact, and I don't know if it's been captured in your video with Igor, there's a legal aspect. Now they want to know, what's my status? I'm in a new country. I need legal help. Where can I get some kind of citizenship, some kind of ID? So that's also another important aspect.
Yeah.
With the children and women who are actually, especially coming from a conflict, psychosocial support is important.
Psychological support?
Yes.
Yeah.
We call it psychosocial, PSS. Mm. It's important because now they've just seen a horrible situation. They've just left their home. We want to work with them to feel some kind of security. And it's not, you know, out of, not crime, from crime, but from this feeling of anxiety, of I'm not safe.
Are these men, women and children, are they targets for trafficking?
It could be, especially on the path. You know, the people who are on the move have collected all the resources they have, all the money they have, and move. Sometimes they have to use public transportation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have to use a taxi or buses. But also sometimes, especially the ones that station in some cities, and I've seen it personally, young girls are on the street selling stuff on you know, red lights, and you don't know what, you know, what those people, what conditions, and what's been asked of them.
Mm. Yes.
This is, I'm really fascinated by everything that you all provide for these communities, because when you think disaster relief, the first thought is socks, shoes, clothes, you know, those types of things. But to hear this almost smorgasbord of services that you have, everything from
network.
It's just impressive, and so I just want to commend ADRA for that work. And just to transition a little bit, I know that there's a special day coming, and could you speak to this day and what's going to take place?
Correct. So June 15, on Saturday, the Adventist Church is declaring it Refugees Sabbath. It's a day where our church system throughout the world is acknowledging the needs and the humanitarian needs of the refugees or the displaced as a group. Yeah. So we're going to take that moment to collectively, you know, pray for them and acknowledge their needs and support them in any way we can. It's linked to the United Nations Refugee Day, which is June 20th.
So the United Nations, so the World Refugee Day is June 20th.
Yes.
And then churches are celebrating on June 15th as well. They've declared
that. Because that's
the
closest Sabbath to that day, yes.
Excellent, excellent.
Relevance. That's amazing to see.
So you've traveled to a couple different refugee camps, which I can only imagine what you must have seen during that time. You were in Bangladesh, Croatia, and Serbia.
Correct.
What kinds of things were you seeing?
So my first experience with the refugee camp setting has been Croatia and Serbia. Mm. And these are Syrian, Afghani, and, you know, even other countries. Majority were from Syria, were transitioning to Europe. So they started their journey, as you know, from Syria into Turkey, took a boat ride, a very dangerous ride to Greece, found a way to transportation into Croatia. It's a pathway all the way. So their target was either Germany or Sweden. In that road to get to there, they had, of course, transition camps.
Mm-hmm.
What really struck me and is this feeling of unknown, insecurity, and what do I do with myself? I don't know where I'm going. I know I have a target, but it's this anxiety.
Yes.
It was harder on the women, and it was harder when you have people with two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So the refugees were, okay, I'm a stranger coming to this land. I hear about how other refugees have been treated. I'm just worried.
It's so unknown.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So I imagine you're servicing so many different individuals from different walks of life, being that we're a program that centers around prayer and just believing in faith. How has that played into, I guess, the walking out of your faith played into this diverse group of individuals that you're servicing?
Prayer is always important for our staff on the front line. And an experience I saw even in the camps, you know, some of these refugees are believers and they have their own way of praying. Mm-hmm. Having, providing the facilities for them to pray was important for them also. And we pray also for, so for the staff, for the refugees, but also for the, I would say, for the host communities where they go through, because it is disrupting their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But also for the security folks from the armies of these countries, because they're also dealing with something unusual. Mm-hmm. They're trained to fight wars, but not deal with the massive human, you know, crowds passing through their countries. They don't speak the language. And this anxiety that, you know, xenophobia forms between people. They don't know, both sides don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So an NGO like ADRA or any organizations that comes with that is that buffer between the two. So we can link them, you know, or ease the anxiety of both parties. That's what I saw in Croatia, at least.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
I'm listening to you talk and listening to your experiences and your desire to go out and to serve and to be such a big part of this. I can't help but wonder, is there something in your life or what was it that turned you personally towards wanting to serve in this particular way?
Personally, I think that the, especially with the Syrian refugees, I'm originally from Jordan. Mm. That was very close to home. Look, the refugee crisis is not new. Mm-mm. I mean, we've seen it before. We've seen it in Armenian. We've seen it after World War II. So the idea of refugee is not a new concept, but it did hit home when I saw countries or nationalities that are close to kind of my heritage.
You're like, that's my area.
That was a little bit home, yes.
Wow, amazing, amazing. We're so grateful, and we're going to be continuing the interview in just a moment. Would you mind coming and joining us again in just a bit?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
We'll continue the conversation in our next segment. To learn more about ADRA's Refugee Relief Assistance Program, visit adra.org/refugees.
That's right. And, you know, we'd like to remind you that our program is not live this week, but you still can reach us. Our prayer partners are still available to pray with you now at 877-7-LET'S-PRAY. And friends outside of the U.S., we've got a number for you, too. You can dial 859-777-PRAY. When we come back, more on how you can help refugees around the world. Don't go away. Welcome back. If you're new to our prayer family and have a private prayer request or praise, you can always visit the website and the online prayer room. Just go to the website at hopetv.org/letspray. Click on that tab that says prayer room, and there you can always pray for the latest requests from our community and add yours to them as well.
Today we're highlighting the plight of refugees around the world. According to the United Nations, 31 people are displaced every minute of the day. And more than half of those individuals are children.
Wow.
Let's take a look.
When the soldiers came to our village, it was a very bad day. At first, we ran and hid in the jungle. Then we heard that people were going over to Bangladesh, that it was safe there. We joined a large group who were walking, all headed to Bangladesh. It was difficult. We had to cross over a mountain. It was wet and slippery. There were lots of insects and leeches. It took us 15 days. We arrived with nothing. ADRA gave us the materials we needed to build a shelter to keep us dry from the rain. It rains a lot here. I never thought I would be a refugee. I had a happy life back home. I was in grade 4 at school. Living in this refugee camp has been difficult. There is no school for us to go to, and I miss my friends from back home. But ADRA has made things better. They have built a child-friendly space right close to our shelter. I go every day. I have made new friends there. We sing songs, we learn poems, we play games, and we eat snacks. It's just nice to have a place to go that is safe and dry, where I can be with other kids. Being a refugee is rough. You live in constant fear of the future. Everything is uncertain. There's nothing permanent. I don't want to stay here, but it's not safe to go home. I want to say thank you to ADRA and all the people who have helped my family with the shelter, the cooking supplies, and the child-friendly space. Thank you so much.
And joining us on Skype from Uganda is 19-year-old Alice from the Democratic Republic of Congo, who fled her country with her mother when her father was killed in 2012. And joining us on Skype is 19-year-old Alice, who is a refugee from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and her interpreter, who's going to be helping us with the interview, Carol. Welcome to Let's Pray. You guys, we're so, so grateful that you're taking the time out of your day to be with us. Alice, I want to ask you, why did you end up where you are now? Why did you have to leave your country?
It's because of the war. We suffered more. And my father was killed. Then when they killed him, he was the head of family who could produce for us everything. Then we have to lack everything. Then we decided to come in Uganda to be here.
We understand that ADRA has been helping there at the camp that you're at. Could you speak about some of the things that you've experienced from ADRA and their assistance? How has that impacted your time there?
Okay, ADRA could help us. They're giving us needs as girls, like pads, soaps, sneakers, like those ones.
What is the most difficult part about being away from your home and being somewhere else?
I feel like a stranger.
You feel like a stranger. There are people all over the world that are wondering what it is they're supposed to be doing. If you could tell them one thing that they could be doing, or why it's so important to continue to help refugees all over the world, what would you tell them?
Those who are helping us, they are very important, because when they are not there, we cannot help. So I would encourage them to continue helping us.
Thank you so much for your time, you guys. We're going to be praying for you. Thank you so much, Alice, for sharing your story. Pray for her. We are so just so in need of prayer for our refugees and for the folks that are displaced peoples. You know, we also want to have Solange on Skype in Uganda. Solange arrived at the Rwanja settlement in 2014 with her family. Solange, welcome to Let's Pray. It's also Carol. Carol's back helping us out interpreting. Why did your family leave the Democratic Republic of Congo?
I left Democratic Republic of Congo because of wars.
What kinds of things have happened in your life since you left?
Life was not good. We could learn from strangers every day. But when I came in Uganda, we live in peace. We are now good compared to DRC.
What have you learned through this experience?
Umefunzwa nini? Mafunzo gani ni umepata kuhusu venye ulipita kutoka Congo hadi Uganda? Mafunzo.
What I learned is that we should love each other. That one of tribalism leading to unpeaceful in the country, we should not do it.
Powerful lesson learned. Do you have a request? Is there a prayer request? Is there something that I can or that we can pray for you before we go?
My prayer request is that you pray for those who still have bad hearts so that they can change. I know Christ and love other as Jesus Christ loved us.
We're certainly going to pray that prayer. Amen. Thank you so much.
Joining us again to continue the conversation on the refugee crisis and their relief programs is Imad Maranat, Vice President for Programs for ADRA, the Adventist Development Relief Agency. Thank you so much for joining us again on the program.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
So ADRA is working on something that's very important, and I just love this so much. It's an educational campaign to help the refugee children. Why is that important, and what are you guys doing?
Correct. So in our work, education is a key element for any type of development or progress. And in the refugee camp, especially in the refugees in camp, it is important that children especially have access to education. Mm-hmm. It gives them a sense of purpose. It gives them some security. They've left their homes in a rush. So it gives them a safe space to be children.
Yes.
And the estimate is around 4 million children are without school in the refugee context. And we really have to address that needs, because they have left their house, their homes, they've left their, you know, their normal life. And to lose the education, which means they lose the future, is really not fair. So we really have to target, after we deal with the life savings activities, education is a very important aspect of working with the refugees and the displaced wherever they are.
It can really wipe out the forward momentum and legacy for generations of people all at once if they're not intervened for, I guess, in a way that education provides. Why? You said it's you said that it's a very important part of what you guys do is education. But why? If that education isn't there, what do you see happening in the communities?
Actually, I've seen it firsthand. If the children don't have the continuous education, and they are in a refugee camp for a longer time, they're behind the others. Mm-hmm. They lose either years of, you know, of basic education, which is a very important stage. Then it impacts their future of going to college and, you know, careers and the future. So that key, especially for the, you know, the basic education, it's important for them to continue the foundation for the bright future. They're already, you know, insecure about their future from what they've seen. So to give them some elements of, you know, security or a safe space to read. And also, you know, refugee children are very motivated. Sometimes you have to go through a bad situation to be motivated. And it's actually pride that I can learn. It's a sense of gratitude, a sense of accomplishment that I'm not, you know, they see themselves going from maybe a nice house, nice living, well-to-do living to all of a sudden I'm a refugee depending on others to give me my food, to give me my drink. Having education gives them, it's actually builds some dignity, and I think that's very important for them and a hope for the future.
Yeah, there's a point in my life, not comparing at all, but a similarity where I felt like I didn't have anything, I was starting over again. And for me, learning something new or being able to invest myself in something or in other people really did tie me to some sort of future. It gave me, I guess what the Lord would say in Jeremiah 29:11, a future and a hope. And so thank you so much for that.
Switching gears a little, I'm thinking of individuals sitting at home. And the question is, you know, for those of us who are not directly affected by the refugee crisis, why should we care? What can we do? You know, how does it impact us?
Right. I think of people of faith, if you're, you have to remember Jesus himself was a refugee. So that it's part of our, you know, history, I think, part of our fabric. It's our duty to help. You don't have, you know, if the refugees are not in your backyard, doesn't mean you can't help. There's a lot of organizations, ADRA, are helping them. They're on the front line. I personally see our staff spending 24 to 48 hours of non-sleep just to make sure that the camp is set, is ready. Like you mentioned Rohingyas. They're exposed to continuous rain during the monsoon reason. That rain, if the roads are not cleared, if the water drainage pipes are not cleared from, you know, trash or debris, that the whole camp will be flooded. And these homes are temporary. So they have to establish that. They're going to rebuild every time there's a storm. So it's important that organizations have the resources to be able to help those refugees build their resiliency and their, you know, withstand these storms and just continuous, you know, that their camps without being destructed.
I mean, otherwise, it seems like it's just a constant starting over. Prepared for the weather that's coming, I mean, that can just be devastating to your heart, to your spirit, to your courage.
And if you're in transition, you're not going to build long-term housing.
Right.
So if you're exposed to storms, yes, you are rebuilding. Every time there's a storm, you examine your house and you said, okay, I'm going to need more bamboo, I'm going to need more sheets, I'm going to need more tarps to resecure my house.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
Thank you so much for humanizing this crisis. So as individuals who live in the U.S., what can individuals in the U.S. do to help this refugee crisis?
I think first to support, probably monetary, some of the organizations like ADRA. I know the impulse is to, you know, gather the in-kind contributions, put them together, send them around. If it's a local community, that's probably okay. But it is more problematic to send, say, you know, clothes that people have or extra stuff, because it is, you're going to pay extra just to ship that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the cash is really the most. And identify with an organization through your research that really have reach to those refugees and do the impact. And keeping up with the stories, of course, praying for us, like I said before, and to the staff, to the beneficiaries, to everybody involved. It's important. This is a continuous. The struggles are real. The pain, I mean, even, you know, for our staff, continuously watching children and women suffering, they don't show it, but it does catch up with them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think prayer and contribution to organization is important.
So looking forward a little bit, maybe just over the next 5 years, what do you see happening in the refugee crisis? Do you think that it will end, or do you think that it might increase, or what do you think?
The most indicators is going to increase. Mm-hmm. We can't predict the next conflict, but we know from what we've seen the last few years, natural disasters are showing more impact. And we've seen this 2 years ago with the hurricane season. It's not just the wind speed, but they bring a lot of rain with them. And the storms I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to say why, but the storms are staying where they are for a longer time. So that means more rain is coming down, more flooding. And with more water, more flooding, it's just going to cause more harm, more damage. Mm-hmm. And for people who have not built, probably not in the U.S., but other regions, they will decide maybe elect to move to another area, become a refugee or a migrant. Mm-hmm. Or internally displaced. So the need will always be there. The history of the world is full of conflicts. So we know, and we know there's a situation in Libya. We don't know where that's going to go. Mm-hmm. There's a Venezuela crisis.
So much.
We don't know where the next conflict. Nobody predicted this Arabic Spring that caused all these refugees.
Yeah.
The Rohingya came up, overnight. We just don't know. All we can do is be ready, be prepared, and have the resources to respond when needed.
Perfect. Perfect. Absolutely. And I see that you've brought something with you. Can you tell us a little bit about this book?
Correct. So, as ADRA, we've published this book, and we're going to offer it free to people who can go to our website.
Okay.
It actually captures the social justice from a biblical view.
Yes, praise God.
It captures why, as people who believe in the Bible, people who, believe in Christ, why is it, in a way, our duty to show social justice?
Yeah, what's our responsibility with that?
Correct.
With
that, and it shows examples. And I'm going to spoiler alert.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 7 captures the story of a refugee without going into details. But it does capture. Chapter 7 has a story of one of our refugees that ADRA helped.
Wonderful.
And really, the story is really touching of what she had to see in order to decide, I'm going to be a refugee.
Wow. Yeah, to make that kind of a decision is a big deal. Thank you so much for being with us. Folks, if you want to learn more about ADRA's education campaign for refugee children, just go ahead and visit adra.org/inschool. It's so very important.
We want to remind you that our program is not live this week, but you can still call us. Our prayer partners are available to pray with you right now. Just call us at 877-7-LET'S-PRAY, and our friends outside of the U.S., you can dial 859-777-PRAY. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Pray. We are not live today, but if you are in need of prayer, we can help. Our prayer partners are standing by to take your calls. Dial 877-7-LET'S-PRAY. Season, I know we have our family just buzzing on social media.
We sure do. Every week we've got so many folks. John is saying, thank you. I'm watching from Kenya, and I love what you're doing, bringing hope to a broken world. That is our deepest desire. Cynthia says, please pray for my sister, Mary, who lives in Bahamas. She has a mental health issue. So we're going to be covering those here in just a second. We just want you to know you can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Let's Pray Live. I'm going to quickly pray for this. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for John and for Cynthia for reaching out, Lord. I just ask that you would cover those in Kenya who are needing you and watching, Father. And please we're praying for Mary who lives in the Bahamas. Jesus, you know how to touch her mind and to bring her into a place of fullness and completion, Father, in you. In the name of Jesus, your word says that we are complete in Christ. And so, Lord, I ask that you would make that a reality for Mary. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, tens of thousands of refugees continue to flee to Europe and other countries around the world. And ADRA and other relief partners are already assisting vulnerable families on the ground. They are in Serbia, and they've opened an asylum information center in Belgrade to assist more than 600 refugees. Let's take a look. To tell us more about refugee relief efforts in Serbia is Igor Mitrovic, who is joining us on Skype from Serbia. Igor is the country director for ADRA. Igor Mitrovic, welcome to Let's Pray. We're so grateful that you're here. You know, I'm just going to jump right in. I'm wondering what ADRA is doing in Serbia. Why are you there at this point?
Since 2015, we had an influx of refugees from Middle East and Syria, Afghanistan mostly. Mm-hmm. And presently we are focusing on the largest asylum center for refugees, mm-hmm. Accommodating around 1,000 refugees just next to the capital of Belgrade. And we established a community center next to it to try to, let's say, normalize their life. So a whole set of services or programs are running there to try to at least create some kind of resemblance of home, of normal life.
Igor, you know, just speaking of what you're trying to do there, how did this crisis even begin? Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, unfortunately, there are more than 65 million displaced people, refugees and migrants. We only kind of felt the one of the waves of displaced people looking for a safe home. So I guess it was caused by men. Let's put it bluntly and maybe even naively. So powerful men, powerful government trying to do what they usually want to do, to fight for power. And simple men and women suffer. So they are displaced. Presently, we support people from Afghanistan who are here on their way or attempted way to reach richer parts of Europe to find a safe home and some livelihood opportunities, let's say. Mm. So some of them are leaving because of tribal conflict back home. Yeah. And some are simply looking for more stable livelihood opportunities in Europe.
Would you have ever imagined that you would be in a situation like this with an opportunity to serve in this capacity?
I never dreamt that this kind of, let's say, a way of human need will cross my way, to be honest. So now I'm aware more than ever that I'm afraid that migrations have only started and will probably face, Europe will face new waves, maybe in future steered by ecological reasons, not only war and conflicts. So we better prepare, to be honest.
You've mentioned a community center and that you're dealing with, you said, over 1,000 folks that you guys are trying to help and trying to normalize their lives. What other things, you know, what day-to-day things are they receiving help with?
When we established the community center, we wanted something to resemble, to be honest, a village, a small town. So it's spacious enough so that when the families come over, every family member can get involved in some meaningful and tailored program for that individual. So children, youth, girls, boys, women, and of course, adult men. Mm. So all kinds of activities from recreation, sport, occupational, some vocational and trades. What gives them mental stability is involvement in all these activities I shared with you. Yes. So we thought maybe a proper counseling will help, but actually all they need to stabilize themselves and to, let's say, leave the vicious cycle of depression and pointless life, basically, mm-hmm. is to get involved in something at least resembling normal life. So this was more effective than proper counseling.
Praise God. I think that's such a statement. The Lord is very specific about not forsaking the fellowship of the saints and being in community together.
What role has prayer occupied in your life? And maybe you can answer, just speak to maybe one answered prayer that you've seen God, you know, move in that has been significant for you.
Maybe it will be a stereotype, but in order to be able to run these kinds of programs, you need funds. And funds were arriving from absolutely unexpected places. Other faith communities jumped in. ADRA, of course, some anonymous individuals from the States. They simply flew over, saw our needs, went back to the States, fundraised, and sent our money. So they have never seen us. That was the first time they stumbled upon us, basically. So beautiful, let's say, providence it's always unexpected, but I really felt this absolutely unexpected. The whole series of interventions we experienced. And I can tell you, you can feel when people of prayer, of belonging to other churches, communities, mm-hmm. are around because they feel the need. I can even say that we received calls in the middle of night with questions. Do you need money? In the very period when we were running out of all money and started becoming kind of even desperate. So that's my testimony. It gets repeated every day almost.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Igor.
Would you mind if we prayed for you quickly?
Of course. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's pray, family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the life that you have given Igor, Lord, the heart that you have given him, Jesus, as well. I know that he represents a massive team, Father. So thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them, Father, that you would strengthen them, Jesus, that you would give them rest if needed or energy to continue to carry your work, Father. Lord, I ask for protection and safety, not only over the volunteers and the men and women who are committing their lives to serving these folks, Jesus, but I also pray for protection and safety over the refugees, the people who have been displaced from their homes, Lord. We truly take for granted so much, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to be more grateful, Father, that we would look around our homes, Father, and realize that we have so much to give. And Lord, I'm asking for encouragement, Lord, a stronger sense of community, Lord, that their efforts, Father, would be multiplied in your capable hands, Father. Lord, that if there is another wave, if there is a group of folks that are going to come their direction, Jesus, that you would make a way where there is no way, Father, that you would save lives, Jesus, that you would heal hearts, Lord. And Father, the people who are creating an environment that's so toxic that people are having to leave their homes and flee their countries, Father. Jesus, they need you. They need your redemption, Father. They need your grace and your mercy, Father. I pray that you would bring them into a deep and true repentance, Lord, that they might know surrender, Father, that they might know your grace and your everlasting salvation and love for them. In the name of Jesus, oh, Father, we thank you for everything that we cannot see. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
If you want to learn more about refugee assistance programs around the world and how you can help, you can get a free copy of the book For the Least of These by visiting adra.org/least. That's adra.org/least. The book covers faith and social justice and features ADRA's humanitarian efforts.
When we return, our devotion of the day. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Let's Pray, where you don't have to pray alone. Praise God for that. And if you haven't already, please go ahead. Just plug into our prayer community, guys, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Let's Pray Live. Also, if you're on Facebook Live, just give us a shout out, say hi, tell us where you're watching from, and along with your thoughts on the program. We want to hear from you guys.
That's right. Before we read the devotion of the day, we want to invite you to download a free copy of the Let's Pray Prayer Journal.
Yay!
Yeah. Visit hopetv.org/letspray and click on the prayer journal link.
You know, I got to tell you, my grandmother, she's awesome about prayer. Grandma Joyce, I love you. What she does with her prayer journal is she'll be like, you know, today is immediate family. Today is, you know, grandchildren. Today is praying for the nation. So you can always, you know, just organize your prayer journal that way. You know, there's lots of cool things to read in the prayer journal, some quotes, some encouraging thoughts. So go ahead and check that out. Download one for yourself.
Yeah.
And don't forget, folks, please go ahead and just write refugees somewhere in your prayer journal or notebook or whatever you're already using. It is so vital that we cover them in prayer. And if the Lord, the Holy Spirit moves you to maybe financially support or, you know, just talk to ADRA, see what they need, see what they're wanting for these folks. Our devotion of the day today is in Isaiah. It's one of my favorite books in the Word. It is chapter 32, verse 18. It says, "My people will live in peaceful dwellings, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." So my question is, what happens when that's not happening?
Right.
Because we know we serve a God who does not fail.
Right. You know, I think about the Old Testament and when God was bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, he had a system in place to where there would be no individual left behind,
mm-hmm.
that there would be no poor. But it's greed, it's hatred. Those types of things creep into God's intended system,
mm-hmm.
and just disturb the whole thing. And so I hear his heart in Isaiah 32 saying, yeah. I'm trying to restore this thing back to the way that I intended it for my people.
Amen. Yeah. Excellent thought. You know, I think to myself, Father, I know that your word is the truth. So where it says maybe an undisturbed place of rest, maybe spiritually, I can decide to participate like Peter, you know, walking on the water. That was, you know, the water was big, the everything. I mean, it wasn't an easy place to be.
No.
And he got out, and for that moment, he was on the water, undisturbed. It seemed to me like an undisturbed place of rest. Can we be in a calm place in the midst of a storm? Can he be our undisturbed place of rest with my husband and I going through stuff recently?
Yeah.
I mean, and hello, we're all, I mean, if you're breathing, we're dealing with stuff. Amen.
Right.
So going through all of these things, not that we don't have emotions, not that we don't get sad or hurt or upset in some way, but to know that in the midst of all of that, he can be our undisturbed place of rest when our surroundings are not.
Oh, Susan, that's beautiful. What you just said is beautiful, and it painted the image in Psalms chapter 23 when David says, he'll lead me beside still waters. And there's the imagery of a lamb there that will not drink unless the water is still.
Yeah.
But yet you see the shepherd leading that lamb to the place of providence where these still waters, where he is not disturbed. And that is our prayer for every refugee, individual who is displaced, as we've been just discussing this all day.
Absolutely. You know, Mario, would you mind just saying a quick prayer for the refugees around the world and for our community? Not quite to close the program, but just kind of a special edition.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we've heard so much. We've learned so much. We've heard from real individuals who have lost their homes due to conflict and unrest and are trying to find a new normal in a place that is foreign. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted. We ask, dear God, that you would continue to move your hand upon all of these communities of real individuals who are dealing with real displacement. Lord, we don't have words, nor do we have time to communicate our hearts toward them, but we ask that this prayer be powerful and able to do things, not because of our merit, but because of yours, Jesus. Thank you for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to add, Heavenly Father, I just want to continue that prayer and thank you for who you say we are.
Yes.
I can only imagine in those moments, the stripping of material things, the leaving of home and not having somewhere that's the same place or a secure place to rest their head at night, Jesus. The enemy might try to creep in and try to reestablish what someone's value is, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, I know that your word says who we are above and not below. We are the head and not the tail. And Jesus, I praise you that nothing surrounding us, material possessions, anything, Father, actually dictates our value. You do, Lord. I know that your word says that we should not think too highly of ourselves, think too much of ourselves more than we should. But Father, I think that because of your sacrifice on the cross and that you established our value by dying for us, Father, we also should not think too lowly of ourselves. So I pray, Jesus, that you would implant that on the inside of not just the refugees' hearts, Father, but all of ours. Father, you have given us a value that no one can take away. And I thank you for that, Lord. And we just lift these things to you in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for being with us today. We hope you'll join us again next week. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Let's Pray Live and pray for your fellow community members.
Remember that prayer partners are standing by to pray with you until midnight Eastern time. We'll see you next time on Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone.